this is a poem I wrote about this time last year, I think, called Encounter. I'm walking up Grand Parade in the darkening dusk when I hear a jizik, 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 and each jizik is layered over another, and there's thousands of jiziks, and each jizik occurs at a different point in time, so that it's one continuous high-pitched sound, lively, phasing. And there at the bend onto St. Patrick Street, the source, a tree by a streetlight, radiant yellow, active as a beehive, a swarm with little birds, all flitting about, chiziking to each other. It's quite a sight, a bit like an alien invasion, I imagine, as the branches of the tree vibrate with little bodies, and the birds are as numerous as summer leaves, no exaggeration. Other people have noticed them too, and stop, and look up. The amount of them, one woman remarks, and one man records a short video. I try to figure out what kind of birds they are, but the streetlight is so yellow, and the tree is so tall. They fly like pied wagtails, they're light on the bottom and dark on top, but surely not, they come in ones or twos, I think. As I tap observations into my phone, the birds settle down to sleep, the street beneath them covered in shit, but they as magic as Christmas. Asleep they look like wooden decorations, hidden in silent numbers. You wouldn't know to look for them unless you'd seen them getting ready for bed. When I get home, I log on to Facebook, find Birdwatch Ireland's Cork branch, and tell them what I've seen and ask them if they know what kind of birds they are. Bing! A new notification. It reads, "These were pied wagtails, Benjamin. They are known for roosting in urban trees, particularly near lights, to take advantage of the extra heat."
So we're starting a sign-up list for the Ben Burns fan club. It's going to follow him up to Limerick on Friday.
It's Thursday.
And they're going to regret being there on Friday because the event is on Thursday.
Thursday.
Give us the date.
Thursday week the 8th.
The holy day as well. Yeah. Go on. Okay, so next on the open mic is Joe or JC?
JC.
Oh, nice. JC Sparks.
Hi everybody. My name is JC from Kansas City, Missouri, USA. And I will do... Does anyone ever talk to themselves? Yes? No? Maybe so? Yeah. A couple people do. Alright. Well, I hope you like this. Hey, Sparks, are you talking to yourself again? Yeah? Why don't you shut up? Why don't you shut up? Why don't you be serious for a second? I'm being serious. Alright, here's some serious advice. You need to lighten up, bro. Haha! Well, I can't just lighten up, bro, and I've got all these voices in my head telling me to do shit, including you! Everybody's got voices in their head telling them, don't start an argument if you're outnumbered. Put on clothes before you go outside, and so on. Right, right, it's normal. I think it's normal. It's normal to have a voice. A voice. Not two, or 10, or 20. Well, who cares what anybody thinks? It's not like they can hear them. Oh, they care. Let me tell you, they care. You think people can just talk to their friends and family about this? Well, hey, there's people who care about us. We can talk to people, right? That's true. But what about the people who don't have anyone? More and more folks are ready to talk about anxiety, depression, and etc. amongst their loved ones. But what about the less socially acceptable forms of mental illness? Dissociative disorders. Paranoid schizophrenia. Yeah, I digress. I'm getting off topic. You get a little preachy, and I don't like it. One time, on the radio, I heard a shrink trying to describe schizophrenia. She paused for a really long time, like she wasn't quite sure what she wanted to say, like it wasn't PC enough or whatever. And then she finally says, "It's hard to explain, but it has something to do with having a split brain." And what's that supposed to mean, huh? What's that supposed to mean? I think it's possible. Almost everyone's somewhat schizophrenic. You see what a brain looks like? You see all those folds and cracks? That's what I think the secret is. It's all a big conspiracy. They don't want you to know. You ever think about shutting your damn mouth? You ever think about Midwestern sunrises in early July? You ever think about how those walls are going to look when they finish closing in? You ever think about how slightly depressed people make the best realists? You ever think about killing yourself? You ever think about that? You ever think about what silence must sound like? Thank you, everybody.
So we have a few people to get through, so can we keep it to one bowl and keep it nice and short? We're going to have Mary O'Connell next.
This is a poem about Sid Barrett, and because I don't know whether you know about Sid Barrett, but he, on the mental illness theme, he dropped some acid and was never the same again. And because Pink Floyd have brought out a 7 album of their early work, I thought it might be appropriate. This is called Fade Out. A star too bright for northern latitudes. His incandescent glow lit up the earth before he flared and fizzled out of sight, opening a void. The acid boost, supposed to fuel his gift, began to melt the wiring in his brain, as if he too explored the eerie wastes that lay behind the dark side of the moon. He never made it back. His shaken band members, caught off guard, could only crawl out from the shadow cast by their afflicted friend. They watched in disbelief as he tuned out on reaching interstellar overdrive. This erstwhile piper at the edge of dawn. His wiry body became soft and slack, then grew bloated like a swollen husk. They let him go, unable to coax back the easy smile or start the dynamo that powered his eyes with that magnetic pull. The lights were quenched behind an empty stare. 7 years later, in a wild lament, they wished that he could join them in their song, begged this crazy diamond to shine on.
Thanks a lot, man. Eugene, please.
Eugene Robeson.
Eugene Robeson.
Lines came by on the road tomorrow day. On where? On Patsinay. The view from Patsinay. Three store sheets was finally a roller of cement to Durka. Three stories down and a man in a dark cement covered yard. John McBride, Chief of Staff, IRA. your bed, she's praised with her linen, praised with her. The break on wall, the body more, it has to her. The grey roots, raising and the weak wind. The Suda Shasta Kovic, school feet can remodel the Iganist paint on which she lifted man or ear. Legs as the courage, not knowing when one would be lifted, morning or night, on guard the car, squad car, on Dr. Wilson, first opinion, the consultant, second opinion, families cook the law, or it will ring. The feast date is tomorrow at the art station. The state is it. Tomás McCurtain, Ard Béire. Taylor Patsina, Ard Béire. D.L. Smirnett, Owen Bard, Oscar Corky. Thomas McCurtain, Nardmare. Prince McSweeney, Lord Mayor, greetings from the Bard of God. Fionn Brad, under the flag, Fionn Lash. Sloyd, Tomás McCurtain, Basula, Mock, Tomás McCurtain, Farsi Blue. Dorothy Christina, Basuda Lurta, Nymphias Brute Number, Ains Do Suus, Lame Faramach Montenot, Oxen Pace and the Ravens. All that remains, chalked on the hoarding, CYM, Community Youth Movement.
Thanks, Lord. Fergus Dammer is next.
The Peeling Brand. I mean, without, it's nothing. A coat to wear. Redundant. No depth. No story. Face value. How tame. How flat. The tick tells the tale. The life of a thousand deaths. The death of a thousand lives. I wear it for all to see. We are all one of the same. Impressed by our impressors. Impressing all the same. Identity we've chosen to seek has buried early graves.
Forget, Philip Spillane, please.
Hi, so few you might know, I'm doing a project at the moment with a friend over in Portugal, Gabriela. I'm putting together a group of poems, both in Portuguese and English, and today I'm just going to read out her poem, which is going to be posted on Facebook, hopefully this week, and it'll be on her blog as well. And if you want to see all her poems so far, check out my Facebook page, Alexander Edgar Works Inspirations, and just ask me about it. And this is her poem, and I hope you enjoy it. I'm reading in English, of course. So it's called Lisbon. Seated in a rock made of air, having as her bed the white, she draws dreams, sky, and mist, in the salted, crowned brow, and the immensity by rising. To the ocean's gaze, her right forehead, she stretches the coral fingers in the horizon. And it's so big, It's so big, the misfortune in her necklace. The thousand tears she sold. And she doesn't know if she's a queen or infant. Now even if it's hers, seen ahead, the turbulent tides revolving, born from a rose, wind and sea, the orb that she dreams, she weaves. Hendley.
Thanks a lot. So we're going to keep things moving along. I'm just going to call out your name from sitting down from now on. It just saves this journey that happens every time to me. So I'm just going to call it out because we've got to keep going through them. But this is Patricia Watts next.
It's called Autobiographies. Premium rate telephone numbers called incessantly. Once upon time, missing voice repeatedly. Animosity dredged on a sludge of paper. Through your eyes only, wasting infinite time. Having a foreign heart, a place of reason. Holding dear a heareth to shutting all others. Princess in the mirror to shame all around. The treasures of your past gathered to the barn. The Queen's joke, starting its exposure, brave mouth and conjuring one last song. Facing the door in pretty silks and taffeta, a send off to the fated world, a consolation prize. Walking up your story with the incessant, disappearing for days to hone your craft, mincing on future plans, speed of the essence, an attractive epilogue to what's inopportune. Delivering wood to the story of you, excursions on the royal scale not an option. The incessant silence of the subject drains you. Mediocre progress etched on a report card. On miscellaneous day, sprouting achievement, kindness of strangers listened unintently. The real source of life has now done before. A heaven of little grace is yours to cherish. Thank you.
Ninth screen next.
Look, I'd say you might have seen Bob Williams last night. I was just happened across it, and it kind of was a bit of a body blow. You know, she was going through these girls that had been completely set up by revenge porn. They'd been in relationships, they were lives destroyed on an epic scale. And you know, it was hard to kind of chew it. You know, kids, my twins are 25, my son's 20. Anyway, this is what came out at the end of it by the way. Sweet, sweet. Bittersweet revenge. Sweet baby. Unfriendly. Addicted to trollops. Addicted to trollops and slappers. Wallpapers, cyber babes, cyber chicks. Brood mares are put out to pasture. Stables of palominos to parade. Silicon curves and rubbery pouts. Eyelashes loaded with plastic. Strike the pose and wrinkle your nose. Shake your tail feather. Fantastic. She followed a trail of pink hearts where her beloved's face said, wow. How she wished she couldn't see it and she couldn't see it. How it haunts her now. She trod down deeper and deeper, endless chicks and bottomless pits. So it was too late. She was in love. And then, for dessert, it's revenge, a dish of revenge. It's cold when she slid to the side. Photoshop that, crop the dark fringe, place another head on his bride. Try and take it down if you can. Best of luck with that. Mum, make sure she stays alive when her whole world is exposed and defined. Legislate hunters of prey, the groomers and the platers, a foreplay of deception to poison the love that was hers. Sweet, sweet, bittersweet revenge. Sweet baby, unfriendly.
Thanks, Miles. Can we have Charles Clark next, please? You may remember that in War and Peace, Pierre Bezukhov had far more money than he knew what to do with, and all kinds of things, strange and wonderful things happened as a result. In an old film, Henry Fonda plays Paul Bezukhov, and that kind of thing comes out. This comes just out of this, just a different. Russian Suite. He waved notes in large denominations at the night clerk demanding gypsies, then went to a suite hastily made ready where he was joined days later by his mistress. But noise and booze and disarray could not suppress the urgency of questioning. Should he build roads on his estates, charter a steamship or a hospital? Start schools for his villagers. The gypsies had their own reason. We cannot live without champagne, without our songs and our cigars. For the present, it will do.
Thanks, Charles. It'll be Bernadette Gallagher next, please.
This booklet is Ropes 2016. It was published in Galway by University Literary MA in Literature in Galway, and all of the proceeds went to Simon, so I just want to decide it out. The swallows returned to their old nest. Protecting their eggs, he stood guard at night. No match for the magpie who attacked at dawn. Feathers askew, they fly in concert with friends and start all over again. Thank you.
We'll have Ray Hanrahan.
Right, this one's called Radio, Radio. Radiation for the nation. Seeping through the cracks of your windows, roofs and floors, in one ear and out the other, leaving residue, a conditioning that goes deeper than the roots. Distant screams, too long repressed silences, errant disembodied communications from aliens resident within the walls, a voice for those struck mute by the babble of the box that brings strange sounds from far away.
Cedric Picon.
It's a strange series of events because last week I was actually calling the Simon Society for a homeless man who's sleeping just by the river. In the door, and unfortunately they didn't have space for him. And tonight, actually, on my way here, I made a good friend who's pretty much victim of a hellfire. She's fine, but her apartment might have been destroyed, so she's not home yet because she has us, but in a sense she is because she doesn't have a home. So that's actually reminding me of Hobo that came here into that poem. Doesn't have a title yet. The cold stalks like a wolf waiting outside of the house. It always looms, waiting for the vulnerable place. Its victims run away from the flame of a burning society, fled from the scorching sizzle of a dysfunctional family, or were burnt out by consumerism or brain malady. The cold is ready to bite, never fails to get its way. There are no Cinderellas, rather only little kids with blown away homes by circumstances that radiate further than their rise. Yet, the blaze rises higher. You will hear the cold howl its wind, feel it even as you walk home. A close one may have fallen. The cold awaits for anyone rusted by human congested relation or a simple house fire.
Thank you, Cedric. We're going to have our five-word challenge winner, Janie Sparks.
So I guess I'll just go ahead and tell you, I wrote this in my mind about being kind of an unremarkable athlete amongst the greats, and it's not quite done yet, but it's either called Keep On Still or Unstill, I can't decide. My motivation is gone, but I keep on still. Not still, unstill, so unstill I feel my will to do anything but breathe spill out of the cavity of my ever-heaving chest. Anyone willing to knock me the hell out, be my guest. No doubt the best rest I'd get in days, in haze, in glaze on my eyes. I'm spaced out farther than a lost astronaut. This is not what I thought. Wrought in pain, tired in vain, in rotten, drained monotony, I keep on still, keep on still, keep on still in dead blast, and breathe, just breathe, because I'm long past the point of surrender. Need I remember how much effort it took me to get to this point? The point. No pointing fingers at anyone but myself for distorting my reality so that I didn't see, didn't flee, didn't heed my own pleas to finally seed the pride that eluded me since birth. Seed victories, intoxic mirth, concede my worth for what it is, almost nil. Keep on still, keep on still on this earth, still doing this work, still unstill on this paralytic treadmill, still seeking rebirth despite impending death, only just going ripe where rancid lies heavy on the breath. Only with pain, with gasping chest, do I grow, do I see, do I cherish rest. So keep on, keep on, keep on, I will. Keep on still. Keep on still, keep on, never be I still.
Thanks, Dr. Janie. And to finish the night tonight, we'll have Neil O'Donovan.
Thanks. This started out about heroin addicts in the district court and about making the solicitors take it to the Supreme Court or High Court, whatever, actually get medical care for the Rottens and the prison. Then it evolved into something about the repeal movement and kind of how the church and sort of elderly people to an extent, the old religious are clinging on to children, that kind of, they're holding tight. They have a picture posted online of an old woman kind of clutching onto the hand of a child and dragging the boy away from me when she saw me kind of standing wearing a dress and all that kind of stuff. Ultimately, it's about kind of not holding on too tight to something that you're actually going to kill it out of love, even though that love is misplaced for something that shouldn't be there, it couldn't be there. It's the wrong kind of love. So this is called hate. Make them fight the fight they're bored of. Fight what's worth fighting. Show the love killing people. Love the ugly that makes make what is real and make the truth. Make something. Make and build. Take and build. Destroy what's built. Ruined people ripped apart. Show them how to destroy what destroyed them and build what they love. Build their love to be good. Destroy what surrounded it. Make that smallest god the devil and kill them both. Build your love beautiful. Make beautiful love. Love different. Preach God. Hail Satan. Religion's fate.